a lot of times we develop systems to make them really good and efficient. And towards what I would call a last mile problem, we kind of think about, oh no, what does this mean to our member? How do we go and solve it? Or how do we think about personalizing this to our member? Things like that. And so what I want to do is kind of put it over its head and kind of think about the member in the center and to start and end there.
Welcome to Technovation. I'm your host, Peter High. My guest today is Anjana Harvey. Anjana is the Chief Information Officer of BJ's Wholesale Club, a membership-only warehouse club chain that earns in excess of $19 billion in revenue annually. Anjana has been in her role for about 6 months, and she was brought in with a mandate to drive improved digital customer experience, optimize revenue growth, and boost operating efficiencies. I look forward to hearing more about her methods in each area. Anjana has been a CIO multiple times over, including her two most recent roles prior to her current one at Fresenius Medical Care and at Hillrom. And now for a word from our partner, Nile, and the company's co-founder and chief executive officer, Pankaj Patel. Pankaj, talk a bit about the idea of network as a service, as this is a category you're pioneering, essentially.
Service is truly the new product. We really wanted to mold this in a way where AI truly drives the closed loop automation, because we saw this as a major hole in the way the networks were today. This is where we realized that data is the secret ingredient for what we are doing. Every facet of our life is dependent on connectivity and networking today. So we will say, before you design any piece of hardware, software, or firmware, ask yourself a question. Do you really need this? Focus on what is truly needed to deliver a service. After you have decided that you are going to need this, simplify it to the nth degree. Simplification is the key. After that, we said, let's automate everything that we are doing. Doing all of this, we were able to simplify and automate 95% of the usual things people encounter in the IT shop. You cannot do this with the product mindset. This is what we had to do in order to create the true service offering.
Thanks, Pankaj. And now on to our broadcast. Anjana, welcome back to Technovation. It's great to speak with you today.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me and giving me this opportunity to connect with you and have a quick discussion.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I've been looking forward to it. I wanted to begin with your relatively new role. Roughly 6 months or so ago, you took on the role as Chief Information Officer of BJ's Wholesale Club. And for those who may be less familiar with BJ's, maybe you could provide a quick overview of the business, please.
Sure, absolutely, Peter. So I'm really excited to be here at BJ's Wholesale. And we're an organization that is a leading operator of membership warehouse clubs. We provide sort of a differentiated shopping experience and value to our members. And it's significant value, consistently offering about 25% or more savings on a representative basket of manufacturer branded groceries that you can kind of buy compared to other sort of supermarkets. And it's a lot of assortment, Peter, that we provide, whether it's fresh foods, it's produce, sort of a fresh full service deli. There's bakery, household essentials, fuel, services, optical services, things like that. So a wide range of different products and services that we provide to our members at an unbeatable price. And I'm really proud of the shared purpose that we have as an organization, which is about taking care of the families who depend on us. So everything within the culture of the company is about kind of member caring for our members, serving our members, being there to kind of earn the right to be there to serve our members. And we're in more than 20 states within the United States, about 244 clubs and growing. 175 gas stations and more than 7 million members and about 19 billion or so in revenue. So hopefully that gives you and the listeners a little bit of a overview about who BJ's is.
That's fantastic. A great overview indeed. And maybe you could take a moment and talk about your role as Chief Information Officer. What's within your purview, please?
Sure, absolutely. So have responsibility for IT. So everything from sort of our core applications, enterprise systems that we have, as well as cybersecurity, infrastructure, all of the above. And it's really, I would say, if I have to kind of describe my role, Peter, it's about how best do we leverage technology, whether it's our driving our business outcomes, serving our members, optimizing revenue growth, and improving sort of operating efficiency. So it's all aspects of that, looking at technology and seeing how best we can leverage it to meet the needs of our business.
Yeah. And I wonder, before taking on this role, had you been a customer of BJ's? What did you know about the business before taking on this role by chance?
Yeah, so I was actually a customer, so it was kind of nice to be a customer, a member before, and then kind of taking on this role and imagining myself on the other side and serving our members. But no, it's been fantastic. It's been great for many years, I would say. We've been in the Boston area, and maybe about 15, 16 years ago, I was a member and kind of continued through that. So it's been actually wonderful to see it from a different lens now and experience it and see what else I can do and do my part or our team's part to supporting the member.
That's fantastic. Well, you mentioned as an overview of your role that part of that is serving members. And I wonder, as you think about doing so digitally with technology, what are some of the things that you and the team are focused on to enhance that experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the part I would say of my job that I'm most excited and passionate about, Peter. So there's many things in kind of serving our members and kind of making sure we've got the right sort of assortment. And so supporting our merchandising team to making sure that the right assortments are available for our members, making sure supply chain from behind the scenes can work really well, smoothly, providing the right value. When we talk about delivering value and kind of giving it to our members, it's about making sure we have efficiencies across the organization so we can extract the right value and provide it back to the members. So supply chain efficiency is another big part of what we're doing. As well as when you walk into the club, kind of making sure that the right sort of experience is there, whether it's the checkout, self-checkout lanes, or whether it's kind of being guided by a team member who's supporting and helping you through it, our membership desks. So many, many aspects, I think, of what touches some more directly and some a bit more indirectly, but all with one purpose, which is really how do we try to bring the right value to our members? So there's quite a lot we do, again, behind the scenes as well as more directly, I would say, Peter.
I've also been interested to learn a bit more about what you are developing, something you refer to as a member-centric architecture. I wonder if you could explain what that entails.
Sure, Peter. So when I think about member-centric architecture, it's really putting the member in the center. So when you think about a member, how do you look at the data that's a 360-degree view around the member and kind of really looking at everything with that lens and to begin with that and to end with that, sort of a closed loop of how do you think about anything and everything with regards to our member is sort of the way I think about member-centric architecture. Many times I've seen as we develop systems, we kind of do all of the things, whether it's supply chain, whether it's merchandising, any function, whether it's finance, HR, et cetera. A lot of times we develop systems to make them really good and efficient. And towards what I would call a last mile problem, we kind of think about, oh no, what does this mean to our member? How do we go and solve it? Or how do we think about personalizing this to our member? Things like that. And so what I want to do is kind of put it over its head and kind of think about the member in the center and to start and end there to kind of think about always ask the question, no matter whether you're directly impacting a member or you're indirectly impacting a member, how do we start with that? How do we make sure we're looking at it truly from a 360 degree so that we can, when we think about personalization, then it truly becomes hyper personalization for that particular member. And you look at each one of them uniquely. Without technology, it's very, very hard when you have especially 7 million members to kind of think about each one individually. It's very hard without, right, without systems. If you're still driving things manually, you cannot. But that's the beauty of what technology can bring to us, is to kind of really have the ability to be able to look at each person uniquely and be able to do that at scale. And so that's what I mean by member-centric architecture, Peter. Hopefully that helps. And
Absolutely. And you talked about how you are contributing both to optimizing revenue growth as well as efficiencies, both sides of the profit equation, if you will. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about some of the areas that you focus on each of those vectors, if you would.
so when I think about sort of revenue growth, it's about kind of making sure we get the right savings to our members. So this is about the right promotions, making sure it's relevant to the member and for what they're trying to shop or intend to shop and kind of making sure that's provided. So that's one example of sort of revenue growth, making sure we make the experience of becoming a member much easier. So we can start to grow the revenue base there through our having more members that are joining us and making sure that they're satisfied with what they're getting. So that's another area of kind of working and making sure that we can support the members. Making sure the right assortments are there, the right campaigns and the right marketing messages or the relevant messages are being sent to our members. So quite a lot of things, I would say, from a top line revenue growth perspective that we're working on, helping our members renew their membership, making it easier for them. And hopefully if they're satisfied, that's when we see that renewal happening. And so all aspects of that is another area. From an efficiency perspective, as I mentioned a little bit on supply chain, that's a huge area of focus. We've been kind of working pretty hard on kind of making sure that we are modernizing our entire supply chain area and providing the right systems, the tools, the right forecasting of what types of products to be had and stocked within our clubs, all of that. Recruiting is another big area, kind of making sure that we do have a number of folks, especially on the front line, that we have to recruit, and how do we make sure that is a smooth and seamless process and kind of having the right sort of recruiting components of it. There's also behind the scenes sort of core IT, if you will, whether it's voice over IP and kind of getting that rolled out to all of our clubs and other aspects of both cybersecurity as well as infrastructure to standardize, simplify, and driving efficiencies there. I think what I love most, Peter, as I maybe take a step back from both of these and take a look at it, I would say it's the multiplication factor that sort of excites me. Any improvements that we find, any optimization, things that we find in one store, in one club, we have the ability to multiply that across a chain wide, across many, many areas. And so that's the advantage. It's not just making an impact in one area. We have the ability to make an impact across all our members, having the ability to make the impact across all of our clubs and our fuel stations. So quite a lot, I think, of that. That also excites me to kind of take it to that level.
Very interesting. And I, of course, we've known each other for a little while now, and your past experience has been in a variety of places in the broader healthcare realm, from Novartis to Hillrom to Fresenius Medical Care. This is your first foray into retail. And I wonder what you've drawn from your past experiences into a setting like this, different as it is.
So I've given this a lot of thought, even before joining BJ's. And I think what attracted me most, Peter, maybe if I start there, was the customer centricity of our business. That's really the part that attracted me. And my previous role at Fresenius Medical Care, I got to do a lot on the healthcare side and being very close to our patients. And that's the part of my job that as I reflect back, that I'm most passionate about as I think about what there's so many aspects of a CIO role, but I think what attracted me and got me excited most was that patient centricity. And so being able to kind of draw upon that, but in a very different setting, of course, that customer centricity is what both attracted me, but also things that I can kind of look back into my toolbox and kind of think about what are the types of things that I did there that I might be able to translate and bring that over. So that's been really good. Also, my previous jobs involved a lot of multi-site. So when you think about in this job in retail, it's a lot about it is about multiple sites of clubs that we provide service to. And even in the healthcare setting, it was slightly different, of course, the care that we were taking for our patients, but it was across many, many different clinics around the world. And so there's that multi-site aspect, which I can draw upon and kind of bring that over. It's also here, it's about a point of sale system, there it was a point of care system. So again, there's quite a lot of analogies to kind of look at how do we provide care in the right systems, the tools, the data, analytics that go with it, but in a very different context, how do we provide the right point of sale systems? So as I reflect back, yes, it's a new industry and I'm super excited about it, but there's also a lot of things that I can correlate to and be able to draw upon my past experiences to help me within this new industry and new job, if you will. So it's been really exciting, I would say. I've really enjoyed that. I think as I've gone through my career, Peter, I've tried my best every single job, every single opportunity that I've had to take to look for something new that I can learn. There's always things that you can draw upon, but it's also exciting. And make sure that you're staying on the tip of your toes and kind of making sure that you're not complacent, that you've got something to learn, that you've got something to be excited about. And that's what gets me so excited about moving into retail. It's a very fun industry. Every single day, I feel like I'm learning something new and being a member myself, as you asked me the question a little bit earlier, it's so nice to kind of see it from a different lens and experience it myself. And you never want to be a patient, right? You never, as much as you want to experience it from in a healthcare setting, hopefully you're not a patient yourself and experiencing it. But that's the very opposite, I would say, in the retail industry. I enjoy being a consumer and bringing that sort of learning back to my job as well.
Yeah, as you said, this was a role where you had prior experience with the product, so to say. You were a customer of BJ's, and so and as you said, it's a pleasure to do so. Whereas with past settings, it was not something you would necessarily wish for, nor could you experience it in the same way, perhaps as you can now. Very interesting comparisons. Well, I also wanted to ask you, as somebody who's multiple times over been a chief information officer of major organizations. What's your own sense of the state of the union of women in technology? I know it's a topic near and dear to your heart. You're a a leader within the T200 organization, which fosters a lot of both collaboration, but also helps the next generation of women leaders grow as well. Talk a bit about some of what you've observed as a result of your own experience, as well as your guidance of others.
Yeah, and thank you for that question, Peter, because it's a topic, again, I'm really, really passionate about. And as you mentioned, I'm part of a number of organizations like T200, which I'm so grateful to be a part of, because we get to play a little bit of a role in helping, contributing, giving back, if you will, in ways we can to support other women, have an environment that sort of enables more women to grow within the tech career. I would say it has improved. As I reflect back on my maybe 25 plus years of career, I've definitely seen a shift in a lot more women coming in and getting to more senior roles. But there's still so much more we need to do. Many, many days I'm in meetings and I look around and I'm the only woman in the room. And that is not a good place to be in, right? We've got, when you look at the entry level, it's about 50-50 of women coming into the workforce. And as you start to see the progression, unfortunately, it does fall off. And so there's a lot we still need to do. We're definitely better, I would say, but nowhere close to where there's an equal setting, if you will, at the senior levels. And I think doing everything from within companies itself, kind of making sure there's sort of employee resource groups, that those are things that I've kind of been really involved with, helping other women to be able to find a network, a supportive network, both within companies as well as outside of companies, which is why forums like T200, which really fosters a community, a supportive community of women, all willing to give, to share, all with the sole purpose of helping other women to rise and kind of jointly rise together and lift each other up, if you will. And so that's really important, kind of giving access to those kinds of forums allows you to share, to be able to maybe answer questions that may seem sort of more particular to just to yourself or what you're going through. And having others who are similar or going through a similar journey can help a lot in exchanging ideas, thoughts, and reflecting on those things. So I think we need to continue to do things like that. Each one of us, I think, owe it as leaders to be able to help others within our network. And so kind of being, for me, I think what's important is sharing some of the struggles I've gone through, being vocal about it, being vulnerable about the things that I've gone through over the last 25 years. As I said, the beginning part of my career was even more difficult as I navigated sort of juggling the kids when they were much younger, juggling a dual sort of career family, all of those things. I think it verbalizing it, talking about it, and helping one another, I think I've found to be the most effective way of helping others who might be, may not be sharing it aloud, but might be feeling similar things that can feel the openness of understanding what we're going through and being able to support one another.
Yeah, very, very interesting perspectives. And I appreciate you reflecting on those. It actually calls to mind another question I was hoping to ask you, which is sort of the secrets to your own success. You've been a chief information officer, as I mentioned, at Hillrom, as well as at Fresenius Medical Care. Now, of course, at BJ's. So multiple organizations of consequence and scale. As you think about the heights you've reached, what were some of the difference makers for you along the way that have enabled your rise?
I'd say a few things come to mind, Peter, as I think about it. Maybe the first one I would say is forcing and pushing myself to really embrace uncertainty and kind of taking risks. And it's scary because every time you want to try something new, if you want to expand yourself, it comes with inherently some level of risk because you're moving outside your comfort zone, you're trying something on new, something different. So I would say that is probably one of the things very early on I've kind of learned a lot from others, observing and kind of reflecting on myself and pushing myself to sort of embrace that uncertainty and be okay with taking risks and failing, because that's a part and parcel of taking risks is sometimes things have succeeded. And I know there are many times things have not succeeded, many more times, I would say. But it's a stepping stone to learning something different. That's sort of how I view it and approach it. The second one I would say, and my mom actually taught me this so very early on in my career, on always try to learn and improve yourself. Because there's always things that you can continuously improve. We can never, ever know everything. And so looking at different people, looking at opportunities, looking at every aspect of kind of being a sponge all the time, being curious about what's happening and having that sort of really ability to learn and improve and self-reflect a lot, I think is maybe a second one, I would say. The third one I would say is being resilient and having grit. There are many, many times you feel like giving up. It feels almost impossible because a lot of technologies, actually, I tell a lot of people, it's not the software, it's not the infrastructure, it's about people. It's about change management. It's about driving transformation. That's what technology brings. But that come a lot of that is human relationship. It's about how do you try to convince and influence people. And so being resilient and kind of not giving up and making sure you have conviction in what you're doing and helping to look for ways to influence someone. And the last one I'd end on, Peter, if I had to pick one, is about realizing very early in my career that it's the power of many. I realized very early on there's very, very little that any of us, as much as we think or we would hope to do, I don't think we can do anything on our own. And so learning how to appreciate kind of the team that actually brings it to bear at the end of the day, and kind of our job is to really help and serve those team members, help them be successful, allows us to truly unlock. And so I think it's the multiplication factor of the power of many that I think really kind of embracing that. And when it's humbling to realize that you can't do a whole lot on your own, but it's also refreshing to kind of then think about what can we do to help be the ability to unlock and bring the best out of everyone, which then allows you, your team, your company to succeed. I think maybe are a few things as I reflect back on my career.
Oh, fantastic reflections indeed. Thank you so much for each of those, Anjana. I also wanted to ask you, as you look to the future, what are some trends that particularly excite you that may be making their way onto your roadmap?
Yeah, no, it's such a fascinating and exciting time to be a technologist, Peter. This is the best time to be with so much of advances all around us and at such an incredible pace. It's hard to keep up with everything that's going on, whether it's AI, ML, or Gen AI, computer vision, immersive technologies. I can keep going on quantum computing, robotics, et cetera, right? So there's so much going on. What I'm excited as I think about the future is a couple of things. One is the intersection of many of these. So each one in its own, every new advances are pretty exciting, but I think the intersection of bringing these various technologies and kind of the real world application and the opportunity is just unending. And kind of when you think about how many things you can start to bring the right combination of these technologies to be able to help solve things. So that I'm really super excited about. I'm also excited about kind of the human-centric design. It's all about the experiences. We all have similar products or things that we try to sell or to be able to provide regardless of the industry. But it's at the end of the day, how we make someone feel, how do we think about the human that's truly at the center of consuming, whether it's products or services, and kind of reflecting on that and making sure that we really design the right systems, the tools to enhance that experience, if you will. That's what's going to distinguish someone from being really good to being great or excellent and kind of in delivering and driving the right value. And the last one I would say is kind of how do we take all of the insights, which is tremendous, and the ability with, especially with AI, to bring that level of insights, but to truly embed that and make it part and parcel of what we do, because it is so much that's out there that it can be overwhelming. It can be difficult with the types of information and data that's surrounding all of us, right? It gets to a point where it becomes truly overwhelming. How do we simplify it? How do we bring the nuggets of what's important and truly sort of embed that into our systems, our applications? So it's really, I would say, as much as I'm excited about the technology, it's really, how do you take that and actually solve business problems and kind of leverage the technologies to unlock a lot of opportunities? That's what I'm most excited about.
Well, a lot for us to continue to keep our eyes open with the impending innovations and their applications to an organization like BJ's Wholesale Club as well. Anjana Parve, thank you so much for a great conversation. Really appreciate you sharing your perspectives and spending time with me today.
Thank you so much, Peter, for having me on.